I'm going to read today from John chapter 2. After I read this, I'm going to sing, I'm going to play a song that's not religious, but very anointed for you to, just a little bit of it, I'm going to play. Okay, John chapter 2, I'm in. God wants to change our lives from being ordinary to being extraordinary. That's what he's talking to us about today. And that's what happens in the glory. He spoke to me a week ago and told me that we've entered into a new season. And this season is called the season of the third day. And the season of the third day is the season when Jesus rose, what, on the third day. Huh? So we're entering into the season of the third day. For those who have died to themselves, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Huh? I'm crucified with Christ. Okay? For those that have laid their lives down and said, not my will, but thy will be done, God, I'm living for you. Okay? You, if you're living like that, then you can enter into this third day season. If you're not, you can still do it and still enter the third day. But in order to get into the third day season, you have to die first. Jesus had to die first in order for him to be raised back to life and for him to enter into that third day. He had to go through that whole suffering and dying to himself and dying on the cross. And we do too. We have to die to those things that we want to do. You know, that self-will. We all have that stuff. And it's a process with most of us. We just don't do it once. You know, here's my life, Jesus, and then we're living for him. We usually, the Holy Spirit will convict us and show us areas that we're really not living for him. And we need to lay those things down. But as we do that, as we go through that process of dying to ourself and our self-will and doing things the way we want him, God comes. God comes in all his glory and raises us up. He said, those that have done that will enter into this new season. It's called the season of the third day. And he told me, he said, study what happened in the Acts of the Apostle after Pentecost. Huh? They had entered the third day. The glory came, entered the church. They all got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They all started operating in miracles, signs, and wonders. All the apostles, all the people would gather together and pray every day. Revival broke out. Miracles and healings and wonderful things happened with persecution. Okay? But we got to know that. Okay? I don't want to just paint a glossy picture and fail to tell you they were persecuted. But as they were persecuted, that persecution caused them to leave Jerusalem and go spread the gospel. Ended up being worldwide. Huh? So that's the season we're in. We're entering in a season of the third day where all the glory, all the power, all that God has for us is for us. Cool? Huh? Is that cool? All right. So I'm going to take us to John chapter 2. On the third day. Ah, on the third day. Okay? A wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Up until this point, Jesus had not done a miracle. And I think it's pretty cool that he had so many disciples. He had people following him, like Peter, James, and John. He had disciples. And they, when you think about it, they hadn't seen him do any miracles. He must have been pretty charismatic, pretty awesome for people to leave everything and follow him and hang out with him, not seeing any miracles. That cool? Yeah. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now, why did Mary do that? Why did Mary do that? Do whatever he tells you. My time has not yet come, mother. Why are you involving me? Because she was best friends with Jesus. She knew Jesus. She knew his heart. She knew the compassion in his heart, the love in his heart, and that he wouldn't want her friends to be humiliated and embarrassed. She was like this with him. That's what God's saying to us, I want you to be like that with me. Then you know my heart, and you know what I'm going to do, and you can bring forth words of knowledge to people. Those words of knowledge that you heard me give testimony about that happened with the cancer, the people with cancer that got healed, and the provision for Sandy, there were many more. Those can be given outside the church. If we're just so close to Jesus, she wasn't at church. She's at a party. She's at a wedding, you know? We just have to be best friends with him and go with him wherever we're going, and he's going to tell us, tell so-and-so this. You sure? Yeah, tell him that. At the Hastings, the Youth Academy. He tells me, tell him this, tell him that. One after another, words of knowledge. Because why? He performs the words of his prophets. If we don't speak them, he can't perform them. So he needs us to tell. You feel something to tell your friend? You tell your friend. I feel like you have something inside of you. You know somebody needs a certain word that's been in you. Like, I don't think I can tell. But it's God, okay? And there's going to be freedom and release when you speak that word to those people or that person. Okay. And so she said to them, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. So what was this significant of? An unlimited supply. Ha! But it was water used for washing feet. God is so cool. You know, can you see it? This is us. Yeah. Jesus said to the servants, fill the water jars to the brim. So they were filled to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. When they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. So what does God want to do? He wants to change the water of our lives, into wine. He wants people to come over to us and get a good drink of wine. Isn't that cool? I want encouragement, healing, blessed. How many of you have ever been drunk in the Holy Spirit? It's awesome. It's awesome. Where you're laughing, where you just feel so good, you're just so relaxed, you feel so full of peace. He wants us to be able to be those containers, those vessels, full, not of water to wash people's feet with, full of new wine. Full of wine, so people can come over. How are you today, Phil? Ah. Good talking to you, Phil. Somebody calls you on the phone. I've been just operating in the glory for, quite a while now. People call me on the phone. They get a good drink of wine. The glory. And he said, this was the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory. How does he reveal his glory? Huh? Through miracles, through signs and wonders. Through tremendous, tremendous things. I went to a glory conference a couple of weeks ago because I wanted more of the glory. And I've been watching these revival services that are going on. They're taped on YouTube. They're on the West Coast. So to watch it live stream is too late. So I just watch it on video on YouTube. And the anointing on these ministers is just incredible. And the miracles that are happening are phenomenal. So I went to this glory conference and saw two of the ministers, one that was doing the San Diego. If any of you want to follow them, one is called the San Diego Fire and Glory Outpouring. You can go on YouTube and get that. And his name was Joshua Mills that had kind of was one of the ones that started it there. It's been over 100 days that these revival services are going on. Wonderful miracles. And then from that, it spun off. They sent a delegation to this Fire and Glory Outpouring from Seattle, Washington. Those people went back and it ignited there. So now that's been going maybe 70-something days. So you can watch both, and that's called the West Coast Rumble, and you can get it on Seattle Revival Center. So on YouTube. So I've been watching them, and one of the ministers was Joshua Mills, and the other one was Monday Martin. Oh! So I went there just wanting more of the glory, and I got it. Oh! But it was wonderful, because as these ministers were ministering, I watched them, God, perform miracles. I watched, Monday Martin had a word of knowledge. He said, somebody here was in a car accident in the 80s. Come up. God wants to heal you. So this woman came up. A few of them came up. And he asked her what was wrong, and he prayed for her. She had one leg shorter than the other. She was in pain for years and years and years. So he got a chair. He had her sit in the chair, put her legs out, and there's her legs. One's legs like about a good inch shorter than the other. And he's just holding her legs. He's kneeling down on the floor, and he's just holding her legs, just asking God to heal her and that her leg would grow out. And I was standing like this behind her watching this. And I watched her leg grow out right before my eyes, just grow out. No fanfare, no nothing, just grow out. She jumped up. Oh, my goodness. Did you ever see anybody so excited in your life? Pain-free. Her leg's not shorter than the other. Not walking with a limp anymore. Jumping. So excited. I saw another man. He had prayed in the previous service for anybody that needed dental miracles. A lot of dental miracles are happening. In fact, there was one that was I watched on YouTube that as he prayed for, this was in Seattle. He prayed for, just a couple of weeks ago, he prayed for dental miracles, and then he said, okay, now, by faith, look in each other's mouths. So they got flashlights, and they were looking in each other's mouths to see if anybody got a dental miracle. So this lady, yelling, she got two gold teeth in the top of her mouth. So two gold teeth. No, this is, goes on more than this. So he says, come up. It's not like a regular church service. It's phenomenal. So she comes up. And now they're all gathered around her with flashlights. And this is on YouTube. You can see this. Just, they're all looking inside her mouth with these two gold fillings. She's got her mouth open. And they're looking at they're like, whoa. And then while they're looking with the video cam and all this, God makes a tooth on the bottom turn to gold. Right while they're watching it. And Monday Martin starts jumping up and down. He said, never have seen this. While he was watching, the tooth was changed to gold. Never saw anything like it. God is doing wonderful things. Why would God do that? He said to her, why did God do that for you? She said, well, I had problems with my teeth, and I needed to go to the dentist, but I had no money. So I came here, and I said, God, I can't afford to get my teeth fixed. Could you please heal me? Heal my teeth. And God did it. It's like, would God do that? Why not? Why wouldn't he? Huh? Why would he just make the streets in heaven out of gold and not share some of that gold with his children that are in need? Huh? There's reports of people finding diamonds. They're just dropping down. Wonderful, wonderful things are happening. This is the hour we're living in. We could say, yeah, right, not me. And there have been people that are like, yeah, right, I don't believe this. And they get a gold tooth. God is God. We got to let God be God. We can keep God in a box and say, God, you can only do things this way. Or we can let God be God and let God do what he wants to do his way and just enjoy it. Enjoy the miracles. He went to a party. I mean, this is probably baffles a lot of Baptist people. He turned water into wine, which they're like, oh, that's just grape juice. Well, they said that people usually are a little bit tipsy, huh, when they serve. So you know, it was really wine. We got to let God be God. Let God do things his way. We've been putting him for too long in our little religious boxes that only God can do things a certain way. A couple of Sundays ago, we're riding home in the car, and I look at my arm, and it's covered in gold dust. That's one of the manifestations of the glory, where the glory, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and it'll come out sometimes through our pores. Looks like little tiny diamonds or oil. This is, you know, when you leave here, go out, when you look in the sunlight and see if you've seen little tiny flecks of gold. It's just God saying, I love you. I'm here. Joshua Mills, I saw him. He's one of the ones that I went to see in North Carolina at this conference a couple of weeks ago. And we had seen him when he was about 20, 22, 23 years old, just starting in ministry. And what was happening to him at that time, about 15, 20 years ago, he would, all of a sudden, the glory of God would just come on him, and he would just get covered in gold dust. And all he would just play the keyboard, and we worshiping, and while he was doing that, gold dust would come all over him. And so this was 20 years ago, and I'm like, yeah, right. We got to go check this out, because he was just down the road at one of the churches down the road. So I said, let's go see this. So I'm thinking he must be just sprinkled on him or something. This can't be God doing this. So I sit in the church, old Doubting Thomas over here, and he's sitting right in front of me because he wasn't preaching at the time. He just played music. So the pastors are preaching. So while she's preaching, he's sitting there, and I'm right behind him, and I'm watching Goldust forming on his head, falling down his ears, all over his shoulders, all over his clothes, watching it happen right before my eyes. He didn't do this. He wasn't doing any magic tricks. It was just, so then he gets up to play worship, and more, just profusely. Then it starts falling all over the church. The pastor, I became friends with this pastor afterwards, and she told me, she had him stay at the house while he was there ministering at her church. She said her house was a mess. It was so full of gold dust. She was always vacuuming. This is true. This is real. This is real. This is real. God is God. God is God. The Jews didn't accept Jesus. Why? Because he came as a little baby in a manger, poor. He didn't come the way they thought, and majestic king riding on the white horse. He didn't come. And we got to know, God's coming in this hour in ways that will kind of baffle our religious minds and be like, can that really be God? Changing silver fillings to gold ones? Or even people's bridges have been fixed with gold, and the dentists are like shocked. They've never seen such beautiful work done in their lives. Yeah, it's God. It's God. We got to let God, God, if you want to put gold fillings in my teeth, you can. If you want to heal my body, whatever way you want to, you can. You could do whatever you want. We got to let God be God. The thing that happened here with this story is he changed something ordinary, water, into something extraordinary, wine, at the request of his friend and his mother. And God wants to do the same in this hour. He wants us to ask him for things that we need. Ask him for things that our friends need. Begin praying in earnest, praying with faith, asking him with faith, expecting he's going to change some ordinary situation into an extraordinary thing. Well, I'm watching it. We're watching Hastings. Ordinary. This has been going on, ordinary, for years and years, and now all of a sudden, extraordinary. Extraordinary, not just that the boys are on fire, the boys are delivered, the boys are baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, the boys are praying for each other, the boys are reading their scriptures, but the staff are too. The staff are all saved. The staff Tuesday night, worshiping God with the boys. Never has happened before. God is changing the ordinary into something extraordinary. What did Jesus do? He just says, oh, fill them up. Now go let them taste it. No big fanfare. No, nothing. No big hoopla. But he did a wonderful miracle. He wants to do those same miracles in our lives, in this day, in this hour. How many of us need something that's ordinary changed into something extraordinary? All of us, huh? All of us. We've been suffering with different issues in our lives. This is the hour where God's going to set us free. God's going to bring healing. To watch last week when Gladys's husband, Jerry, gave this testimony with her sitting, she couldn't share it because she was so overcome. She would have been in tears. She was so grateful that God healed her. To hear him share how God changed their lives. They were preparing for her death. And now they could prepare to live, to have a happy life. That's huge. That's so, to lift that incredible burden off that man's shoulders. He was going to lose his wife. He loves her. Loves her. To lift, God is awesome. God wants to do more and more and more of that. All he needs is a people of faith who will believe. people that will let him. Let him get out of the box we've put him in for so long. Let him do church the way he wants to do church. Huh? How did he do church when he was in the temple? Somebody came into church sick, he'd go over there and heal them. Huh? And then all the religious leaders, oh, we worked on Sunday. Let's kill him. Huh? We could be the same way. This isn't what I'm used to. I'm used to 3 songs, 4 songs, 5 songs, a sermon, and go home. This isn't what I'm used to. We got to let God do things the way he wants to do it, his way. If he wants to disrupt the service and heal a bunch of people, I'm going to let him. Yeah, go for it, huh? Let God be God. Let God come in here and do whatever he wants to do his way. Because his ways are way better than our ways. His ways are beyond what we could think or imagine. I'm going to just play this song really quick. This is Johnny Cash. He and his wife, before he died, they went to Israel. And God inspired him, and you've probably heard this song. He changed the water into wine. Let's just listen to this.
The wine. He turned the water into wine. In the little Cana town, the word went all around that he turned the water into wine.
Now,
well, he walked upon the Sea of Galilee.
We're water, guys.
He walked upon the Sea of Galilee.
We're water.
Shouted far and wide, he come the raging tide and walked upon the Sea of Galilee. He turned the water into wine.
Ordinary. Extraordinary.
He turned the water into wine. In the little Cana town, the word went all around. Turn the water into wine. He fed the hungry multitude.
Didn't he, brother?
He fed the hungry multitude. With a little bit of fish and bread, they said everyone was fed. He fed the hungry multitude. He turned the water into wine, didn't a carpenter from Nazareth. He turned the water into wine. In the little Cana town, the word went all around that he turned the water into wine. He turned the water into wine.
Let's all stand. Are you ready to let him turn those ordinary things about you into the wine of his glory? Huh? You ready to let him use you to pray for somebody and see them healed, set free, set on fire? Huh? Write a book or two or three? Are you ready to let him do whatever he wants to do to turn your ordinary life into something extraordinary? Huh? He could do it. He could do it. He not only can do it, he wants to do it. Is that awesome? He wants to do it. And all we've got to do is say, okay, I lay my life on the altar. What we're going to do, this is what we do at this part of the service. We come up, get communion, bring it back to our seat. We'll take communion together. If you have an offering, you can put it in the basket. If you don't worry about it. But as you come, this is our little altar. What we do is we just say, I give you all. I give you this container of water, huh? This ordinary person, this foot washing water jar. I give you me, and you could do what you want with me. You could do what you want with me. I give you my life. I'm not going to live it my way anymore. I'm going to live it your way. And just lay it right there on the altar. There might be some things that God speaks specifically to us about. There's certain things that we need to lay down. There might be some problems that we're really obsessing about, or concerned about, or fearful about. It might be weaknesses we have that we don't like. But those become an issue for us, bigger than life. Lay them on the altar. I give you my whole life. I give you my naturalness. I give you my weaknesses. I give you my failings. I give you everything. I give you my aspirations, my dreams, my desire for my life, my plans. I give it all to you, God. And I say, not my will, but thine be done, Jesus. Amen. Lord God, I pray for the offering. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you bless this offering and bless all those that so faithfully bring their tithes into this ministry and those that visit and bring offerings, Lord. I pray you open the windows of heaven over their lives and pour out such a blessing they can't contain it, Lord God. They have to give some of it away because it's just too much for them. Do that for them. Protect them, protect their property, protect their loved ones. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have the worship team come up. We're going to stop worshiping.